further ado, I guess, Alan, I'd like to start by asking the question, you know, how would you define habits, if we can just start from there?
Let's dive in.
Yeah, so it's the repeatable thoughts and actions that we do consistently, and not necessarily consciously, but unconsciously. So, you know, I think it's the, I always thought about it, you know, in terms of if you think about one of those massive ships that you see often on a dockyard, and then you look at the rope that holds it in place, it's this big rope typically. But then you look at it and it's a massive rope that's made up of all these tiny little bits of string that have been wound around each other. And I think our habits are the things that anchor us.
Welcome to Coaches and Mentors Unwrapped,
the show that brings you remarkable insights and practical steps to help you in becoming the best version of yourself. We're your hosts, Roz and Mike. We both didn't have it easy growing up. Through our story, we've made it our life mission to ensure every young individual will have the opportunity that we didn't have.
This would be achieved through offering you unrivaled access to mentors and coaches and the opportunity to help you uncover how they impact our lives. Our vision is to have a world whereby we can all help shape each other's lives through shared experiences and carefully applied tools and systems that has been tried and trusted. This week we speak to Alan Morton. Alan's been my mentor for over the past decade and I just can't wait to get stuck in. What are you looking forward to, babe?
I'm looking forward to speaking to Alan as well. I've heard loads of like golden nuggets from yourself and, you know, his spoken quotes around the house. But mainly I think today what I'm actually looking forward to is how to cultivate good habits and how to unravel the bad habits.
Hey Alan, welcome to the show.
Good to see you, Mike.
So it's lovely to connect. So obviously today I've got my co-host, who turns out to be my wife, Rosalind.
Hi, everyone.
And you know, for everybody that does not know Alan, you know, I've known Alan for the best part of over a decade now. And Alan and I, we go way back, in fact, to the point where I've seen Alan as my mentor and use Alan as my coach. So for our listeners, you know, we have a lot in store for you guys today. But before, you know, we progress, I wanted to kind of run through Alan's bio. I think it's always important that our listeners understand, you know, who is it that's going to be speaking to them. So I'm going to kind of just quickly read out, you know, an extract from Alan's bio. 21 years into the sales career that has involved successfully selling into complex environments, leading sales teams and developing organizations in the US and across Europe, Alan Morton is passionate about continuing to hone in and develop habits of high performance in himself and in others. As a managing director, he works closely with his clients to ensure that they have right habits, tools, and processes to drive revenues, increase productivity, and develop high performance sales cultures. Prior to joining SBR Consulting, Alan Morton spent 14 years working in sales and sales leadership positions and was recognized as a finalist in the National Sales Awards for Sales Trainer of the Year. Now in his 10th year of working with SBR Consulting, he specializes in winning business and designing, delivering, and embedding sales and business development programs within IT, professional services, and consulting. So once again, Alan Morton, welcome to our show, Coaches and Mentors Unwrapped.
Hey. Cool.
Good to see you guys.
Yes, and there was a mention actually in terms of, you know, your passion and I guess what you do in your spare time. I think you love, you're a bit of a guitarist. I read somewhere that.
Yeah, I am. It's probably better to read about it than hear it. But
tell us more. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of passion, but you know, the amount of talent is questionable. But bit of music, bit of sport. You know, spending time with the family, with the kids. You know, that's how I tend to spend the downtime.
Excellent. I mean, that got me thinking. I mean, I'm a bit of a sports guy, right? I love football. My wife knows that. And my wife's actually a musician. I mean, she sings.
Yeah.
And so I thought, what a nice balance, right?
Exactly.
Alan's got both. You've got one. I've got one.
Yeah.
In fact, you said to me you used to be part of your sports team when you were younger or something. I'm still debating.
Wow,
I've not got that validated.
he's really all out of the bag now.
That's right. What else can we learn?
So today's topic for our listeners is all around habits, right? For me, it's something which you know, it's very dear to my heart because I love habits, and I know sometimes I get on your nerves, Rosalind, about my habits, but all you can blame Alan on some of those things. I picked up a lot of these habits from Alan. But look, I mean, it's been scientifically proven that a task that's repeated for 21 days consecutively would form one's habit. As human beings, we are creatures of habits, and these habits tend to be constructive or destructive. So it's really a case of, you know, building the right habits to be able to enhance, you know, you as an individual. So without further ado, I guess, Alan, I'd like to start by asking the question, you know, how would you define habits, if we can just start from there?
Let's dive in.
Yeah, so it's the repeatable thoughts and actions that we do consistently, and not necessarily consciously, but unconsciously. So, you know, I think it's the, I always thought about it, you know, in terms of if you think about one of those massive ships that you see often on a dockyard, and then you look at the rope that holds it in place, it's this big rope typically. But then you look at it and it's a massive rope that's made up of all these tiny little bits of string that have been wound around each other. And I think our habits are the things that anchor us. And they're either, sometimes they're holding us back. I mean, that's something, if they're not productive, that we need to be thinking about. But it's those repetitive tasks, those actions, those thoughts that we've developed over a period of time that really define who we are, you know. And I love, there's a great quote by, again, it might be Aristotle, one of the Greeks, right? So if in doubt, we'll ascribe it to Aristotle. But, you know, excellence is not an act, but a habit. You know, and it's that culmination of all the things that we do day in, day out that become just almost automatic and unconscious within our lives. And they're either helping us or they're hurting us. So I think having consciousness is a really important thing to have in terms of as we think about what those habits are for each of us.
Now, that's an excellent way of starting out and obviously helping us define what habits are. If I can kind of tap into my very young salesperson meeting Alan back 10 years ago, that there was a concept which I've again leveraged over the years, which talked about, you know, if you look at the quadrant, right, the unconscious incompetence and the conscious incompetence, all the way down to, you know, the unconscious competence. If I remember rightly, I think you taught us that habits, when once you've formed it and it's become part of you, it fits into one of those quadrants. Are you able to kind of help our listeners, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's the four stages of learning, or the four stages of competence, I think, is a great way of thinking about how we actually develop a habit, because it's that whole aspect of, you know, there's so much that we do at an unconscious level. Sometimes it's the unconscious incompetence, is we don't know what we don't know. We're blissfully ignorant. And then hopefully at some point we flip into the conscious incompetence. And I say hopefully, some people are like, I hate that stage, because that's where people suddenly know that there's a gap, there's something that they can't do. And that's often really uncomfortable. And that's the stage where we've then got to flip into a real conscious and intentional way of behaving to hopefully replace bad habits with productive ones. And then that leads us into eventually where a new habit's formed, where we become the unconscious competence. Now, I think sometimes that tricks people, because, you know, an unconscious competent doesn't necessarily have the best way, but they have a habitual way of doing something, just like, you know, riding a bike, driving a car, playing a musical instrument, you know, which we can do it without having to think about it. So it's at that stage we've got a habit. I think there's a danger of complacency. You know, having people around us, and, you know, I think this is, I love the focus that you guys have on the coaching and mentoring, because I think one of the most important things that any coach or mentor can do is maybe interrupt that from time to time and get people to step back and actually ask themselves, have I slipped, and have I inadvertently slipped into some bad habits? Because I think that's the danger of the final stage unconscious competence, is that if the world changes around us, or we might slip suddenly without knowing it, we've gone back almost like a cycle into that stage where we're an unconscious incompetent, and that's dangerous. So coaches and mentors that can help people just really step back and become aware of what they're doing, and just to ask and challenge themselves, is the way I'm behaving, is the way I'm thinking right now the right way? I think that's a great service that any coach and mentor can provide.
Awesome. Yeah, I like that. And it's key what you said, because I'm always encouraging young people that I work with to, you know, always go back and reflect on, you know, if they've set up habits, if they're in a rigmarole, as you were basically saying, you know, is it something that's valuing them? Is it something that's not valuing them? So, yeah, 1,000% agree. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for that. What would you say is three practical steps to help our listeners form and develop habits?
So, yeah, that's a great question. you know, as you say, the emphasis has got to be on practicality. So, you know, I think the first thing is you've got to break out of the unconscious. You've got to become aware of potential limitations, and, you know, asking for feedback is a great, great first step in terms of, if we're not aware, if we're not conscious of the areas that we could potentially improve in, then we're not going to have the focus that's necessary to then form a habit. And there's tons of frameworks out there. The Johari window, I think, is the classic, you know, that whole idea of it's visible to others, but not to ourselves. Sometimes it's so often the case that with a bit of feedback, we can suddenly become aware that maybe this a habit that we've slipped into that's less than productive. So that's, you know, step one to form a habit is you need to be aware that you need to form a habit. The second stage would be in terms of really having a clear focus and actually defining very clearly the behavior that you're looking to develop or the attitude that you're looking to develop. And, you know, I think with forming habits, again, there's been a lot of research done on the topics. It's much easier to replace a habit than it is to form. So, you know, if you can be thinking about actually, okay, what's the habit I'm trying to replace and put another one in place, that will help you. And from a practical perspective, again, it comes back to coaching. You need good people around you who are going to hold you accountable to doing the things that you don't necessarily want to do and that aren't necessarily comfortable, so that you get the repetition that's necessary to take a behavior and make it become a habit. Mike, you talked about 21 days to form a habit. Yeah. You know, that's some great work done years ago by a guy called Maxwell Maltz and written up in a book called Psycho-Cybernetics. He talks about that. He was a plastic surgeon and, he got so frustrated with the profession that he went back and trained as a psychotherapist, and he's got a really interesting perspective on habit formation, which is where the 21 days comes from. There's a lot of other aspects out there around, you know, number of repetitions, 10,000 hours, the Gladwell concept. You know, who knows how many it is? I think there's a lot of debate, but the reality is it all sits on repetition, and we need people around us who will hold us accountable. But most importantly, we've got to be our own best coach. So my top tip whenever people are looking to form a new habit is to make sure that they've clearly defined some affirmations that they can use to coach themselves and catch themselves doing things right, and also remind themselves day in, day out of what they need to do. And, you know, a great affirmation is, you know, acknowledges a trigger for a habit. So when I stop off at a service station, instead of buying a chocolate bar when I'm paying for my petrol,
which we all love,
absolutely. This is you can tell a habit I'm trying to break right now. So instead of, I will choose a healthy snack because that's what will help me to achieve my fitness goals. And I think having those affirmations that, you know, will support you in those moments of choice is really helpful. And that's about you being your own coach. But no better way of forming habits than having people around you and who hold you accountable and making sure you've armed yourself to hold yourself accountable to the changes that you're looking to make.
No, that's so insightful. I think a few things you mentioned, which I wanted to hone in on. You talked about, you know, affirmations, which I love, something that I do regularly. You talked about, you know, holding yourself accountable, plus having a mentor or a coach to hold yourself accountable, which is kind of what we stand for.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about having a clear focus. I think that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
That focus, right? And just having that clear, you know, end goal, because you want to do something and this is why you're doing it.
Yeah.
I wanted to, again, pick your brains on something which, again, I picked up from your training over the years, Alan, and this is around, you know, the same inch by inch, you form a stitch, and yard by yard, it gets harder.
Yeah.
Right. What I find, and I think some of our listeners would, you know, would you know, empathize with this, is if you want to form a habit and you want to start, for example, you know, you want to start going to the gym, right? And you do 3 days in the gym rather than you want to do 5 days, you know, you have a go at yourself because you didn't achieve your weekly objectives. There is a chance that you can fall off the following week because you're so hard on yourself. Whereas, yeah, you know, what I find, you know, my wife does sometimes is, you know, she takes a step, one step at a time. So, for example, the night before, I'm getting you.
No, it's okay, fine. It's fine. Yeah. Sharing is caring.
Okay. The night before, she'll have her clothes all ready, right?
Yeah.
She wakes up and the next morning, it's there. She just puts it on and off she goes. Whereas if you didn't prepare before that, you end up, you know, not even doing it at all. So I guess my question is in two parts. How much is prep related to habits? Is the first question. And how important is taking it a step at a time to ensure that you don't overdo it, right? And just get into that frequency of doing little things to get to that end goal.
Good question.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I'm going to totally back up on all of that. And I think going right back when we talk about a conscious competent, mm-hmm, you know, that is someone who preps. And, you know, the great analogy of that is, you know, an airline pilot. You know, they've got checklists that they go through. And there's a reason that air traffic has a phenomenal safety record comparable to other things. As, you know, Matthew Saeed wrote a great book on this, Black Box Thinking. You know, but I think that idea of checklists and preparation, where you just focus in, and again, it's becoming conscious of the little things that you need to do that aggregate up to being a significant impact. So, yeah, preparation I think is key, and to flip yourself into that conscious zone, and then the idea of breaking things down. You know, small steps, absolutely. And we see so many people who don't do that. They have a big goal, but they never go through the process of crystallizing that and thinking about the daily disciplines, which really are the habits. Because, I mean, Mike, you and I know what this is like in sales, right? At the start of the year, you get your big number and, you know, we all freak out and think, well, there's an extra zero there. What's that doing there? That's too big. What's going on? you know, and the danger is we don't believe that we can do it. And, you know, whatever the mind can conceive and believe, you know, is you can achieve. It's old.
Love that quote. Yeah.
You know, so breaking something down and into those little steps to make it achievable, and to make sure that we actually have the conviction that we can do it, I think is a critical habit in itself to get in terms of going through. But then focusing on those daily disciplines and habitualizing those, that's absolutely key. But if we haven't done the preparation, if we haven't thought that through, it's hard to know what are the right habits that we need to form to get us to where we want to go compared to where we are at the moment. I started rambling a little bit there. I hope that makes sense.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
No, it makes sense. Perfect sense. Yeah.
I just want to add to that. So, you know, you were speaking about from you and Mike's point of view in terms of being in sales. But what about a young individual that has no experience and, you know, is quite new to the whole world of, okay, I've got something set in front of me. I need to basically put some steps into place, as you said, for example, like bite size. Yeah. You know, from a beginner's point of view, where would you say that they should start off from? And I guess that's a question for both of you, for our listeners today as well.
I'll let Alan tackle that one.
Okay, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's put you on the spot again.
Hey, we're tag teaming it. But I think it's the same principle that applies. And, you know, whether you're thinking about, you know, a project, if you're a project manager, whether you're thinking about a salesperson who's got a sales target, whether you're thinking about a young person who is aspiring to get to university, let's say, and who's thinking about setting an educational goal. You know, having that clear vision of where they want to get to and really making sure that is emotionally engaging. And they've visualized that and it's meaningful to them. But then actually working that back and breaking it down and thinking, well, what are the incremental steps that I need to take and then having the discipline to get the daily result in relation to those steps. Yeah, what I'm articulating here, I heard from one of my mentors, a guy called Jerry Heffel, who was the president of the first business I worked with. And I remember in a very large auditorium, he was speaking to a group of university students. And he was talking, well, this is what it takes to be successful. And he said, you need three things. You need vision, you need focus, you need daily results. So everything we've just articulated there is about the vision, whatever that might be, whether it's, you know, a successful project outcome, getting to university, saving money, you know, achieving a target. Focus is all about, well, have I defined the plan that's going to help me get there? And then the daily results is the discipline to do all the little things that are necessary to get you from point A to point B.
That's absolutely sound. I like that methodology. I think I've got to probably kind of pencil it in my head. VFD, right? Vision, focus, and daily results.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as I say, he's an amazing guy. He's retired now, and, you know, but he made such an impact on so many people just by taking complex ideas and breaking them down to very simple concepts that people could all want.
That's incredible.
Love that.
I mean, one of the things which you said, which is fascinating, is I see Alan as my mentor and my coach, right? Mm-hmm. Whether, you know, we haven't caught up for a while now, but I've always done. He just mentioned he has a mentor.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. So Imagine our listeners, you know, you're a mentor. You still need a mentor or a coach, right?
Of course,
It's really a case of, it's an ever-evolving pattern of, you're never there where you think, you know it all. Mm-hmm. So mentees need mentors and coach, you know, coaches need coaches, right? So this is what we're trying to advocate. I have a final question actually for Alan. And it's around the situation we find ourselves in right now with the current pandemic. I mean, how important do you feel that, you know, people or our listeners need to take this topic seriously? Because what I'm finding on the market is there's a lot of competition wherever you look at, right? Whether it be, you know, trying to get into a new employment, or whether it's trying to, you know, procure your services, or whatever it is, because somewhat there's this, you know, a shortage of, you know, budget or cash, and you have to even prove yourself or prove your value. Now, you know, how important would you say, you know, forming habits would help you stand out and kind of, you know, become that person who, you know, everybody wants or everybody needs or everybody yearns for?
I mean, our habits, frankly, determine, you know, where we end up. You know, it's consciously or unconsciously. It's if we've got bad habits, then we're going to, you know, slowly spiral downwards. And if we've got good habits, and good habits is obviously relative because it's defined in terms of where you want to get to. You know, those are going to be the things more than anything else that determine whether or not you're actually capable of achieving it. You know, that's the foundation. So as I say, whether what's good, what's bad, I think it all goes back to have clarity on what you're looking to do, define that plan, and then really think about the habits that you either need to maintain. And actually, another great framework here is, you know, it's the old start, stop, continue. That's a great thing for people to reflect on, you know.
Yes.
You know, and you can add the slightly more granular, you know, what do I need to start? What do I need to do more of? What do I need to continue? What do I need to do less of? What do I need to stop?
Yeah.
But if you use that lens and you think about your habits through that lens and in relation to your goal, that's a great way of really building that plan that we talked about that can often be the bridge between where someone is and where they want to be. So wherever you're at, and that applies, you know, to the point earlier, to young people who are looking to move forward with something, or it applies to someone in a professional context, or it applies to a business, a complete organization. It's a great way of looking at things.
That's just taking me way back to, you know, when we used to have the training sessions by your organization. And I think the first time we didn't know what the call to action was, right? And I remember Alan would always say, you know, there'll be a paper and it'll be start, stop, continue. What are you going to start, Mike? What are you going to stop and what are you going to continue?
I love
so
that.
It became a rhythm where we always, all the salespeople, we knew that at the end of that training, we have to write something down, make it concrete, and we're going to go away and do it. Because the next session, guess what Alan's going to ask?
What are you going to?
Absolutely. So, absolutely sound. Any more questions for Alan?
No, I think I'm going to give Alan a break. I'm going to come on to you, actually.
Okay, all right.
So I'm going to ask you, in terms of when would you say that you've cultivated a habit and then you've, you know, the start, the stop?
Oh, the start, stop, and continue.
Yes, when do you think you've actually
enhanced that? You're putting me on the spot. So if I think back, I started something called Miracle Morning. So okay. Miracle Morning. Okay, you know Miracle Morning. So for our listeners, Miracle Morning, there's a book written about it. But there's a gentleman who went through some very difficult situation in his life. To cut a long story short, he came out with a framework and a methodology where he would wake up very super early, right? I'm talking, he started waking up at 5:30, then it was 5 o'clock, then it became a 4 o'clock wake up. So I started doing that, where I wake up and I have a routine. And I still do it up to this day, right? And when I wake up, I do a number of things. I meditate, I read, I pray, I visualize, and I exercise. So that's what I've started. And you know, I've been doing that for about a year and a half now. Yep. what I've stopped doing is procrastinating.
Right.
It's something that I used to do a lot, right? I'll do it. But I think having learned the, you know, getting things done and knowing what's important, what's not important, what's urgent, what's not urgent, and being able to put things in that quadrant, that's helped me a lot. So yes, I'm stressed, but I know it's it's off my mind, and it's on paper. I know what's urgent and I'm going to address that. So I've stopped procrastinating. What I'm continuing to do is effectively just making sure that I am just getting that 1% slight edges all the time. And I think, again, that's something that I picked up from SBR Consulting, Alan, where, you know, that, you know, 1% daily gain or 1% daily improvement, apologies, you get 37 times better. Now, I know there's a calculation somewhere that would work this out, but that's something which I'm always trying to think, did I improve 1% today? So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah, and I mean, that Miracle Morning, I think it's SAVERS, isn't it? The acronym around.
That's the one.
Silence. Yep. And again, back to something we talked about already, you know, affirmation, visualization, exercise. I'm testing myself here in terms of remembering. it's amazing how common that is, that, you know, so many people that people look at as successful, you know, they have a great morning routine. That's a brilliant habit to get into. You're just giving me a prompt there, Mike. I probably need to get better with my morning.
I think you and me both, Alan.
Right. Yeah. So, Alan, thank you so much. I think I'm just going to do a very quick summary.
Yes.
It's important that we do that. So we've had such an insightful discussion, and a few things that I wrote down, you know, from a process perspective, you know, Alan shared his thoughts around, you know, to form a habit, you've got to break potential obstacles. You've got to have a clear focus and define what your behaviors are. And you've got to find somebody to hold you accountable, whether it be your wife, your friend, your colleague, or yourself, in fact, for that matter. Then a few other tools. It talks about affirmations.
Yeah.
Alan talked about having a prep.
Yeah.
Right. Preparation. And also having daily disciplines. Right. So that's and also breaking things into chunks.
Just about to say that. Right, took the words out of my mouth. Yeah.
And the acronyms, which, again, you know, stuck into my head, were the vision, the focus, and the daily results, and continue. We're going to have all these on our show notes.
Yeah.
And of course, if you need to reach out to any of us, you know, you can reach out to us at support@cm-unwrapped.com. So, Alan, thank you so much. I mean, in terms of, you know, our listeners wanting to, you know, get in contact with you and, you know, perhaps reach out to you. I know you're on LinkedIn. In terms of your socials, are you able to perhaps
share those with our listeners? You know, I'm pretty old school. I'm you know, just email amorton@sbrconsulting.com. That's the easy way. And, you know, all the socials are on the website, the SBR website, you know, links across to my LinkedIn profile. So LinkedIn, email, is definitely the best way to get hold of me. And happy to bounce thoughts around if there's anything that we've talked about that's resonated with people. Always happy to do that.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time today, Alan. It's been amazing. And one thing that I wanted to our listeners to actually take away is excellence is not an act, it's a habit. I love that.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to go do some Googling and remember. I'm pretty sure it was Aristotle, but I may be wrong. So I don't want to misattribute, but it was someone who was a lot wiser than me.
Alan, it's been a pleasure. Can't wait to catch up with you, you know, in person after COVID. And yes, I mean, I'm sure, hopefully, time permitting, we'll try and get you back on the show at some point to talk about some of the other things which you talked about, which I think we need, you know, our listeners needs to kind of gain insights into it. So once again, thank you for your time.
Hey, cool. Pleasure. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
For all the links to the resources discussed on this episode, click the details link next to the podcast. For any questions or topics you'd like to discuss, mentoring and coaching requirements, kindly drop us an email, support@cm-unwrapped.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next time, remember, inch by inch you form a stitch, and 1% improvement daily can help you become 37 times better in a year. That's absolutely staggering. Let's go get this, guys.